Tax season has arrived, and doing taxes without the right help can feel overwhelming. Intuit TurboTax is here now to guide you through it with confidence. Match with a TurboTax full-service expert who handles everything for you from start to finish. Your dedicated expert checks every single deduction and credit to help you get the best possible outcome so you can feel confident you're getting every dollar you deserve. And the best part? You'll see real-time updates on your expert's progress right on your phone while you live your life. Plus, you get unlimited expert help at no extra cost, even on nights and weekends during tax season. Visit TurboTax.com. Only available with TurboTax Full Service Experts. Real-time updates only on iOS mobile app.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. Social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
It's tax season, and by now, I know we're all a bit tired of numbers. But here's an important one you need to hear. $16 billion. That's how much money in refunds the IRS flagged for possible identity fraud. Here's another one. One in four honest, hardworking, tax-paying Americans has been a victim of identity theft. But it's not all grim news. LifeLock monitors millions of data points per second for your personal information and alerts you to threats you could easily miss on your own. If your identity is stolen, LifeLock's U.S.-based restoration specialist will fix it, backed by another good number, the Million Dollar Protection Package. In fact, restoration is guaranteed or your money back. Don't face identity theft and financial losses alone. There's strength in numbers with LifeLock Identity Theft Protection for tax season and beyond. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart and save up to 40% your first year. That's 40% off at LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. Here now, Tony Bruschi.
23 days, I think, as of right now. Who's keeping track, though? The footage is everywhere. That grainy image of a masked man on Nancy Guthrie's porch has been broadcast nationally, shared millions of times, dissected on every platform. The FBI is showing photos to gun shop owners. Walmart is handing over purchase records for the Ozark Trail backpack. Genetic genealogy is processing DNA. If this person is local, and the January reconnaissance suggests they might be, they're not hiding in a bunker. They're living their life while watching the walls close in. Robin Drake, retired FBI special agent, chief of the Counterintelligence Behavioral Analysis Program, is with us. Let's get into more about what might be going on with this individual today. If they're still out there somewhere, they've spent now almost 4 weeks watching themselves become the most wanted person in America. What does that sustained psychological pressure actually do to someone? I mean, how does it change their behavior in ways that people around them might be noticing?
So a lot depends. It's the worst answer always is it depends. Yeah. And it does depend. It depends if they're watching it or not. Because if they're laying so low that they're not paying attention, or they don't have access to social media, they don't have access to TV, they're not impacted very much by it at all, as well as the people around them. But here's interesting observation, though, on this one. In general, yes, people are going to always have that weight of the stress on them of what's going on, and always being in fight or flight. That has a massive physiological impact on our bodies, a very negative one over a sustained period of time. And so in general, yes, that kind of sustained pressure will start cracking. It will start ebbing out with all the behaviors of people around them. And it becomes extremely notable. Here's a few interesting things, though, with that. And the first one is just this person's demeanor on that front porch. Remember, there hasn't been a living soul that has covered this that didn't say it looked fluid. He looked comfortable doing it. It looks like he has some reps doing this. And so that shows that he was not stressed in that moment on the front porch. And so there's a possibility that's just his demeanor. He doesn't get stressed about these things, which would not give them a lot of leakage outside of that thing, even with the enhanced attention on him. Also, if there's what happens, that I did the research I did on this one was the levels of connectivity, because the sheriff and others put out there that they're not ruling out other accomplices. Accomplices is an interesting word. People knowledgeable maybe of his lifestyle, of being a burglar, breaking an entry, things like this. There might be people aware of that. And so his pattern could be, well, he does a burglary once a week. And so once a week, he comes back stressed. And meantime, in other words, if it's a normal pattern behavior for breaking an entry and the people around him know that, it's going to fall in that normal pattern of behavior. So it won't necessarily be standing out. Then you also have three types of individuals that might be aware of him. And those are family members that are potentially involved, accomplices, or just witting. You have friends and associates, which is that next level. And then you have more relative strangers that you just love, more like a hired hand. And at each level, their willingness to hide, corroborate, and back you is obviously declining. So the close one, the family members, their likelihood of them turning you in or cracking in some way or being alerted to, granted, they're the ones that can be most alerted to your behavior. But if it's a pattern of things you've done before, it might look normal. Even it gets tricky, but it just gets tricky.
Investigators have been canvassing gun shops with the doorbell footage, asking if anyone recognizes the holster. Apparently, they've had a list of names, too, that they've been going around with photos. They're running Walmart purchase records for the backpack. The perpetrator knows, if they're paying attention, that investigators are methodically building a trail back to them. At least they're attempting to. In your experience, you know, what do people do when they realize that the noose is tightening? Or, I mean, I think we're looking at this going, oh, that noose must be tightening, unless it's like, I didn't buy it at Walmart. Y'all think I did that. You know, I didn't do this. See, I didn't go to a gun shop. Y'all think I did that. I mean, they could be looking at this going, ha, they thought I did these things. They're looking in all the wrong places. I mean, they may be thinking they're scot-free. I don't know, which could also be not a great tell for them, because it could lead them to be sloppy at some point. What do you think's going on here? They're destroying evidence. From what we're looking at here with what we do know about this person, which is not a lot, what do you think is going on behind the scenes?
We don't know a lot. I'm really curious about what they do know behind the scenes, especially on the forensic evidence of this. We don't know. I mean, we know some of the DNA stuff that's come in, obviously, but not, I mean, we know it's not a CODIS hit, but now they're going to do the genealogical trees, which again, we'll see if anyone in the family's ever had anything entered in there. So again, these things take some time to flesh out. If even 50 to 75% of the evidence that's coming in is accurate to, in other words, that noose is closing, that is putting added pressure on there. And I know that we have the ransom out there, not the ransom, we have the reward money that's been posted out there. I did research on this as well. Reward money for people that are close to the individual for turning them in is rarely, if ever, the motivator for turning them in. It's actually... Mm-hmm. Public statements of the evidence of what we found that actually becomes a noose tightening. So the person themselves is probably condensing closer and closer and getting tighter and tighter and tighter, more stressed, trying to suppress everything they can emotionally, as well as any kind of physical evidence that they want to get rid of. And at the same time, the people around them, if anyone knows about it, the most common thing they're going to start doing is they're going to start getting into their own survival mode. Because if they think that the perception is that law enforcement is getting closer, they want to either cut a deal, they want to avoid jail time because they fear prison more than they want $200,000 in most of these cases. And so what's happening around here is that that's why I'm hoping that these investigators keep leaking things out. That's why I really like that they had names that they're going to gun shops with. My next big thing I really hope that we get, I'm hoping we get something from Walmart. That would be huge, I think, in applying even more pressure, because what law enforcement needs to do now is saying we're closer, were closer, and provide evidence that they're closer, because if anyone is close to him, we're now in that window of the time period. Believe it or not, we are now starting to be in that prime window. If someone was going to turn him in and give a tip that's going to lead to him, is right now. It wasn't before this necessarily. We're in that window. So if law enforcement could come out with one or two more things to add to that pressure, we might get a flip in here.
Let me ask you this. Is someone who does have knowledge of who this person is, whoever that is that's out there, or whoever, maybe there's more than one person, if they know who it is, and the reward keeps getting higher, the dollar, you know, I know we're up to like 300,000, I think. I haven't checked it this morning, but I think that's what it was over the weekend. People keep adding to this reward. I'm going to guess this is going to keep going higher. I mean, that dollar amount, I know rewards don't always move the needle a lot, but if it gets to the point of life-changing money where someone could be like, yeah, I could take that if it's $1 million, for example, and like I can get out of Dodge. I can go disappear. I can go start a life somewhere else. A couple $100,000, it'll get you by for a while, without a doubt. But it's not necessarily I'm off the radar. I'm off the grid. And if you're in a situation where you're close enough to know who this person is, there might be some danger to you if you were to go and speak aloud or turn that person in. Should anyone who is close to this person start being concerned for their own safety, the higher that reward gets, because that person may be thinking, oh, well, they're not going to flip on me on 300 grand, but if it go to $1 million, they may flip on me and they'd be better off dead than them flipping on me. I mean, are we getting to a crossroads here at some point of people really considering, is it best just to stay quiet? Or if I stay quiet, is that fear going to influence that person to turn on me because I have that knowledge? Is it a better move for me to go and turn on that person versus risk my own safety because of that person's paranoia of their own exposure? Considering we've been going now for almost a month, the person, you know, clearly, you know, is okay so far with not with living with this, if they're still alive,
right,
as being something that they've done.
You know, it's a really good question too. And so I'm going to go back to my original conjecture that this was a home invasion. I know that some people don't like this, but I'm just going law of I stick with law of averages till data says otherwise. And that right now, the law of averages, 60% probability that this was a home invasion for burglary that had a panic escalation where something happened to her inside that house and removed the body. With that as a conjecture, I do not believe that he went in there to do her harm intentionally. So the type of individual that is going to burglarize and steal as opposed to intentionally murder are two different types of people in general. And so if this person is not violent, the people in their lives might not fear violence from this person. So they don't fear, I better do it now or they're going to take me out. So again, I think that goes into the calculation that a lot of times we don't dive deep enough to think about. I really think, again, from just our own deep empathetic conjecture and thought process, as well as the stats, the thing that really ramps things up is when they think they're going to go to jail. That is usually the prime motivator, is their fear of their own. Remember, our prime motivator in life is fear.
Yeah.
And if they fear going to jail, which is usually the prime flipper of people close to someone, that is the main motivator. I don't think that there's fear. I think this is close. I think the people in this relationship to him are close.
I guess the interesting thing is, if it is exactly that, if it is a burglary gone wrong, this person was not a killer. This person wasn't even a kidnapper. It was, oh God, what do we do now? And let's get rid of the evidence, which would have been Nancy. If that's what that was, and now they're sitting somewhere, but they've been basically in a pressure cooker for 4 weeks at this point, that's a very different ingredient coming out of that pot than went in. So that person who might not have been a killer 4 weeks ago ended up, but but somehow became one, or somehow became close to being one, for whatever happened with Nancy, if she's no longer with us. Well, they've checked that box off their list of things they never thought that they would do or have done.
Right.
And if you got folks around you who might know who you are, and they didn't think of you as a killer either, but now you really don't want to go to jail, and you've already got one under your belt, what's another two or three or four if it's going to keep you, if it's going to keep you safe? I mean, that sort of, because you got to go to that person's fear factor too. And people will do extreme things under extreme pressure, things like that, that they might not have never have done before. We might be dealing with a very different mindset of a human being today than they were 4 weeks ago.
So yes-ish.
Okay.
And I love, and Todd's putting all these great comments up there. There's lots of, I never all these different theories about what's going on. I love entertaining them all. And I do. I entertain every single theory that comes out there. And I just flush it out. What's the intent? What actions are we seeing that actually support that theory? And same thing right here, Tony, is that, so let's play this out. So what's the probability that this individual reached a point that they kind of, you know, they broke the mold. All right, we killed one person, potentially. Might as well just keep going. You know, with all this mounted pressure, you know, so there's less inhibition for it. So in order for that to be, the likelihood, the likelihood is very remote, and here's why. Because if there was someone in this entire area and vicinity that spiked out of the norm, that had violence, burglary, that had escalated or numerous burglaries before, and they are on the record, we would have interviewed them already. And we had the DNA inside the house. They would have popped up on CODIS. And so, because everyone who's arrested gets entered into CODIS. And so if there had been someone that's edging up, you know, that was ready to flip over to from burglary to murder, It wouldn't have been a far leap, and there would have been an arc of people that would have already been identified in here. And so in general, if we look at the fact that no one has turned them in yet, if there's anyone that knows about their behavior, it's most likely someone very close, a familiar relation in some way, either blood or by marriage or relationship. People like that, that don't fear that individual. In other words, fear is what people flip on. Loyalty is something they don't. And so if someone, in other words, if they feared that this person would take reciprocity against them, the likelihood of them flipping is actually greater.
Yeah.
And so I don't get the feeling that there's good with this kind of period that's passed. I'm not getting a sense of fear that's going on internally. I think the wagons might be circling on this until it reaches that point where they fear going to jail.
Let me throw this one out to you. And we're going to talk about the accomplice theory in a moment. But before we get to that, one more on this. I don't know what sort of stats exist on this. I don't know if there are stats on something like this. But, you know, we see a lot of tragedies take place where typically more public ones, where it's like a shooter somewhere, where it's like at a school or a store or an office or whatever. And then they end up taking themselves out at the end of it. What are the odds that somebody that this went horribly wrong, that they, you know, they went in for the burglary, they accidentally killed her, she died, whatever. And then they decided, oh, they couldn't deal with that. And, you know, this was far beyond what they were expecting, and that they're dead too. And that's why we're not finding anything on them, because they literally ended around the same time, God forbid, Nancy did too, if it was around the beginning of the month.
So murder-suicide is actually pretty common when it comes to vengeance type things, mm-hmm. or wound collecting type actions, murder, suicide, and I'd have to look it up. But it's definitely in the realm of possibility that, you know, the remorse hit them so to such a large degree, they might've just offed themselves. That's a possibility.
Would that fit more in line if this was not necessarily more of a B&E, but more of some sort of a crazed Savannah Guthrie fan or something, where, you know, I want to communicate with you, I want to reach you, so I'm going to do it by going to someone that's very close to you, and who knows what the intention was, maybe not have been to murder, but I'm going to take Nancy, and she's old, she's fragile, and she died, and like, oh God, that went horribly wrong, and now my idol isn't going to be happy because I just killed her mom or her mom died in my hands, I'm going to end it. I mean, that, I mean, I guess could be another, anything could be a possible storyline here. But I mean, just when you try to play the odds of the mindset, like, well, what would put them, what would motivate them to be doing those sort of things in these specific scenarios?
So, and that's a great thing to flesh out. I love these different theories because let's just flesh it out. So what we're basically talking about, Tony, is stalker kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And so if someone's stalking Savannah, someone wants to get to Savannah through her mom or whatever it is, okay, let's play that out. Here's the averages on that. Stalkers at that level, they journal, they write it down, they have manifestos. There's digital patterns, and there's a lot of forensics when it comes to people that are stalking. Because remember, let's go back. I've said it numerous times. I hate repeating myself, but sometimes it works. And that is, you know, what else? I'm trying to remember the name of the book that John Douglas, you know, the profiler, wrote a lot of good books. Yeah. This one was all about motive. And he said, a lot of people are always looking for the motive, but it's so much easier to focus in on the intent. And so let's look at the intent, because now actions have to then back up the actual intent. So let's presume the intent here is what you said. Well, what would the intent be? The intent would be to get closer to Savannah, you know, some stalker of Savannah. Great. If you're going to do that, there's going to be a lot of notes. There's going to be a lot of intelligence gathering, information gathering. They journal. And so these are things that stalkers do. You know, Joe Navarro, one of my good friends who wrote the book Dangerous Personalities, talks a lot about stalkers in that book as well and their behaviors. And so there's a lot of telltale signs of that. That if there was a stalker of this type, whether it was because they were enamored with Savannah or her mom, or they had some malicious intent, there's nefarious intent, whatever kind of stalking we're talking about here, whether it's for obsessive in some way, there is a pattern of behavior that would have been discoverable that they would have come out with already.
Yeah.
That's why, I mean, it really comes down to is like, all right, does the data that we see support the hypothesis right now from what has been shared with us? It does not.
It doesn't. No, you're exactly right. There's always outliers. Those can exist, but it's important to kind of stay grounded and on the right rails.
And I never dismissed out it's important news. I know sometimes people say, no, this is. I never dismiss outliers. I love flushing it out, and we remain open as investigators to all possibilities. Mm-hmm. But when you have limited bandwidth, what happens is you start prioritizing the less probable. You prioritize a higher probability based on stats and background.
Yeah. Everybody's thoughts in the comment section on this area, on the mind of the individual. Where do you think they are? What's your opinions? Give us your thoughts in our Substack comments and on YouTube. The links are in the descriptions.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
It's tax season, and by now, we're all a bit tired of numbers. But here's an important one you need to hear. $16 billion. That's how much money in refunds the IRS flagged for possible identity fraud. But it's not all grim news. LifeLock monitors millions of data points per second and alerts you to threats you could easily miss on your own. If your identity is stolen, they'll fix it. Guaranteed. Save up to 40% your first year. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.